We're looking at question number 29. This is the second question dealing with the subject of effectual calling. There are two callings in the Bible. There is the outward call of the gospel every time somebody hears the gospel preached. That is what's called the outward or the general call. And then there is what we call the effectual call or the inner call of the Spirit. So it's very important to recognize that in our understanding of the Scriptures, that there are these two callings. As we said already, this 29th question is the second of four that deal with the subject of effectual calling. Question 28 is the effect of effectual calling, if that doesn't sound too awkward. The effect of effectual calling, which means that we are made partakers of redemption by the effectual call and application of it to us by the Holy Spirit. Then tonight we'll consider briefly the essence of effectual calling, what it is in its very center, or what the key or core element of effectual calling is. Then next Lord's Day evening, well actually we won't because I'm away in London next Lord's Day evening, the following Lord's Day evening we will look at the explanation of effectual calling in question 30, and then in question 31 the extent or the scope of effectual calling, the fact that it includes justification, adoption, sanctification, and so on. Now, just to break down question 29 into three headings, we have here the foundation, the faith, and the fruit. The foundation, the faith, and the fruit. The Spirit applies to us the redemption. Sorry, we should read the question first. How does the Spirit apply to us the redemption purchased by by Christ? I mentioned John Murray's book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, last week. Again, I want to remind you of that if you want to read in length about this subject of the correlation between the accomplishment of redemption and the application of redemption. That is really the book to read. So, question 29, the answer. The Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. So we have the foundation in the words, the Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ. Then the faith, by faith, by working faith in us, and then the fruit, and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. Why are we here tonight? And I'm not saying that in a superficial sense. I'm saying that in the fullest sense of the meaning. Why am I where I am in my life tonight? Why do I believe? Why do I trust in Christ when so much of the world rejects him? When I first became a believer, I thought everybody was going to get saved because it was so clear to me. It was so obvious, so abundantly clear in the Word of God that this salvation is something real and something wonderful. And yet, to my surprise, as I'm sure it was to many of you, that was not the case. And what's the reason for that? And the reason is this, is that God has granted us a gift that he has not granted to everybody. Everybody does not receive this effectual calling, this calling which leads to genuine and true faith. Now that might be an astonishing declaration to you, But it is certainly the teaching of the Word of God. God teaches us that many are called, but few are chosen. That's a fact of the Word of God. God's election, God's predestination is clearly taught in the Word of God. The foundation is a very good place to start, obviously, but especially here, because it says the Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit brings to pass or applies that which Christ has wrought, or that which Christ achieved. And Christ achieved it for a particular group of people. This is very important. Most people wrongly believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died just generally for everybody, in a sort of a non-specific, non-purposeful type of way. Just paid the price for everybody's sins, and that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that Christ died for a particular people, and this particular people, the Holy Spirit comes to apply what Christ wrought for them or worked for them. Turn with me to John chapter 10 for a moment. And we'll just see this. John chapter 10, and just a couple of verses from this chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter describes the relationship that he sustains as the good shepherd with his sheep. In verse 7, he says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Then down to verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now the important emphasis here, and the important point is, who it is that Christ says he is giving his life for. Verse 14 reads, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now where this gets really important is down in verses 26 to 28. Who are the sheep for whom the good shepherd died? Verse 26, "Not everybody, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, the verses that we've read declare very plainly, first of all, that Christ came into the world not for the general purpose of living and dying on the cross for a nondescript group of people. In fact, the Bible tells us that Christ came into the world purposefully as the Good Shepherd to die for a group of people that he refers to here as his sheep. And then, in the last couple of verses we read, it says the reason why those to whom he was talking did not believe in him was because they were not numbered among his sheep. Now, that's all very clear. That's all very plain and straightforward. But this is the foundation of this work of the Holy Spirit that we call effectual calling. Christ came to die for a specific people called his sheep, or called the elect in other scriptures, or the chosen in yet other scriptures. And this group is the group that Christ has won redemption for, and this is the very same group for whom the Holy Spirit applies that work of redemption. Which leads us on to the second part of the answer, by working faith in us. Now here's a really important central point, not only in the answer, but central to this doctrine of effectual calling. What is the essence of effectual calling? The essence of effectual calling is literally these words, by working faith in us. Now let me go to a couple of scriptures and turn with me to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4 and the verse 7. And this goes back to my initial question as we began the catechism tonight. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What's the apostle saying? He's saying simply this. Why are you a Christian? Who is it that has made you what you are? Is it yourself? No, clearly not. It's not because we had the wisdom to believe. We had the good sense to accept Christ. No, no. The implication is clear from what the apostle is saying. It is God who made us different. It is God who granted us faith so that we would be different. We have to move on fast. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as it is suitable, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, very simply here, he gives thanks to God for this. Why? Because this faith and the growing of this faith is not in them or because of them, but because of God. Now, an even more clear verse in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Reads, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have, now notice these words, to them that have obtained like precious faith. There's a very clear statement, isn't it? We have obtained like precious faith. That word obtains means something we didn't have at one stage, and we have received it. Faith did not begin in us. It began with and because of the gift of God. Therefore, Peter can describe it as having obtained like or the same precious faith with us. How? Again, the foundation. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. We want to establish in your mind the reality of this doctrine that faith is the gift of God. It's not something that we decide to do. You know, like the modern chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we did not choose him, but he chose us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Why? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure, or perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then Philippians 1:29, I could quote it by memory, but just turn there, Philippians 1 and 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It has been given to us. 2 Peter 2 or 2 Timothy 2 said that God grants repentance, and here in this verse, God gives faith. In fact, it's a verb here. It's the act of believing, which is even more clear. God gives us the very act of believing. The very work of believing is a gift of God. It's not just that God gives us the principle of faith and then we have to enact it. No, no. God actually gives us the believing, is what it's saying. It is given unto you to believe in Christ. The reason why we are here, if we're a true believer, and the reason why I believe in Christ, is because God has enabled me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the actual proof text in the Catechism, Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This very faith, and I recommend John MacArthur's commentary on this verse, I think it's the best I've ever read on this verse. This very faith itself is not of us, but it is the gift of God. The foundation, the faith, and we'll just make reference finally to the fruit, which says, and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. The great fruit is this. The great fruit is this. That by God's gift, we are now one with Jesus Christ. That's the result. Not because of what we have done. You see, think about it. Here's how important this is. If faith was of me, it would be what I have done that united me to Jesus Christ. That makes no sense, does it? It's because God has given it to me. It's because God has granted believing to my soul that I have been united to Jesus Christ, which brings all the glory to Him. It says Ephesians 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.